What's up, everyone? Welcome to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And sitting across me, after I don't know how many weeks of not being here, it's my friend, co-host on this show, Rafael. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. I love the energy.
I know. It's been a while. I'm very pumped. Because you know why?
Why? Because we have 200 followers on Instagram.
What?
We are not as insignificant as we used to be.
I need a sound box.
Yes, I know.
Can you make any special effects?
Big 200.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
I'm so going to keep that on the show.
Yes. Now we just need another 5,000 to become like a big thing.
Make it another 9,000 or something.
Yes.
Thanks everyone for sticking around, even though we've been out and about. I was away in Moscow, Idaho for a week. That was very fun. Thanks to everyone that made that possible at work. I think the University of Idaho has one of my favorite basketball courts in the world. I kid you not. You've been there.
One week in Moscow, Idaho, you had time to shoot the whole city. Like you're making like what? You're making an institutional video because you're shooting the whole city. Like
oh, recording. Yeah, yes. Pretty much. Yeah.
That's enough time to record the whole city.
Yeah, I had time.
You could interview every single citizen.
Something's gonna come back in karma. Anyways, but the Memorial Gym at the University of Idaho.
It's beautiful.
Man, that's pretty. It's pretty.
And the city is quite nice, and the people are very friendly. Yeah.
Went to the county fair. That was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Did some hiking. Anyways.
But they are not. They are Division
2. They're Division 1.
Division 1 for
basketball.
Football, for football. But I think for basketball.
No, for Division 2. For football, they got demoted.
Oh, yeah. That's right. For football, they got demoted.
For basketball, they're in the C2 Sky Conference.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that means.
But they do have an amazing football field. Like almost like brand new.
But you know what?
They're Division 2.
I learned this in this trip that they actually use the Kibi Dome as their basketball arena for big games, and not the court that we like at the Memorial Gym.
Because that one is quite small, but it's
old school.
Yeah,
it's I would love to see a game there. But I don't. Anyways, that's not the reason why I'm so happy. The reason why I'm so happy, it's because the NBA...
Because I'm leaving?
Also that. We'll get to that. You're going to be doing some stuff from Mexico City, I think. But maybe. The NBA is back in 10 days. The wait's over. It's preseason, granted.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's
we're
why.
Back. We're back.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
No,
we're going to be back. I think we're going to do a lot more content because next Saturday, we're attending the preseason game here in Vancouver between the Toronto Raptors and you want to tell
Portland
me?
Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, that little crappy team. Anyways, we're going to be there. So make sure you follow us up on Instagram at dropping.dimes. We're going to do some Insta stories there. Then, before that, actually, on Friday, I will be going and planning to attend the launch of the Mitchell and Ness collection with Van City. It's a local
Grizzlies,
brand.
The Grizzlies.
Yeah. So they're going to have a collaboration in which they're going to do a bunch of Grizzlies swag from hoodies to hats to you name it. So I'm hoping to be there on Friday. Then Saturday, we're going to the game. And then Sunday, the premiere of Finding Big Country, a documentary that follows a super fan of the Vancouver Grizzlies and her fandom towards Big Country Reeves.
Did we get our tickets yet?
We did, yes.
We did.
I bought 2 tickets because I knew you were not going to say yes on time, so I bought 2 tickets in advance.
Huh.
You're welcome.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I just
That's
printed
amazing.
Them out. But yeah, we're going to give him a shout out on Instagram as well, so wait for that.
But I heard that they were sold out.
Yeah, and we're going to the first screening.
Nice.
I got on that.
Oh.
You have no idea. You owe me $15.
Okay.
Anyways, very excited about that. Seems like an amazing movie, and it's going to be part of the Vancouver International Film Festival. Just to give everyone an idea here of how big and how popular this has been, there was only going to be one screening, and now they're on their third one, hoping to open a fourth one.
Yeah.
So let's send them very good vibes. If you can, we're going to post some stuff on Instagram. Make sure you vote for them because who knows, maybe the owner of the Canucks sees everything that we post, which I'm sure he will, and decides to bring back a team to Vancouver. And that way I don't have to move to Toronto.
I don't know. I think it was today that someone posted a picture of forgot his name. The Grizzlies point guard, their best player. I forgot his name.
Mike Bibby?
No. The Grizzlies, I mean the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, Curry. Mike Conley.
Yes. So somebody posted a picture of him, like a with Photoshop, wearing the Grizzlies uniform.
Oh, yeah. Well, their new throwbacks, what are they called now? Heritage? You know how everyone has like 1,000 uniforms? One of them is going to be not teal, but it has a shout out to like the Vancouver Grizzlies uniform. It says like MEM, so it still hurts.
I really think that jersey was, that uniform was beautiful. I mean, I don't know if it's like a bit of nostalgia as well, but I definitely feel not nostalgic about it, but I think it's beautiful.
You know what I find incredibly amusing? Like, being completely honest with you, I didn't give a damn about the Grizzlies up until I moved to Vancouver. And when we moved here in the same year, we didn't know that, of course. But when I learned that, I mean, I knew the Grizzlies were in Memphis already, but once you come here and you realize how much people actually miss them, you become a fan instantly. And the jerseys, the hats, everything that says Grizzlies on it, it's incredible demand. And you become sort of nostalgic about it, even though I never went to a Grizzlies game.
Yeah. And I remember that I liked them when they were in Vancouver, when the team was first introduced and I was still in Brazil, just because I always liked like the new uniforms or the different colors. Yeah. And they were different. They were like different from the other teams because other teams were around for a long time.
Right.
So I was just like, I had a lot of interest on getting to know more about the teams and the city just because they were new.
Yeah. That was a failed experiment, unfortunately.
And I had NBA League Pass at that time.
What?
In Brazil.
That was such a thing already?
DirecTV.
Oh, interesting.
So
spoiled.
I think we were like one of the few people that had DirecTV in Brazil.
Yeah.
And it was like a huge antenna, like a satellite antenna, you know? And sometimes it wouldn't work. And we also had Playboy TV. But that's a different story.
I don't know if people needed to know that.
Anyways.
I have so many follow-up questions. I don't know if I want to do them now.
NBA League Pass.
Yes,
we please. Had that. And there were games every day. And at least one, sometimes two or three games. And, you know, because of the time difference, because of the time zones, sometimes the games were starting at like 1 a.m. in the morning or finished 2 a.m. Yeah. And I was like 14, 15. I was staying awake until late because I wanted to see the teams that were never getting the games broadcasted by ESPN Brazil or ESPN International in Brazil.
Yeah.
So I had the chance to see the Grizzlies play and they were horrible.
They were. I do remember them a little bit. Very similar. We did have cable. It wasn't weird, but we only got like one or two games every 2 weeks or so. And in the beginning, if you watch them in the, I guess, the public network, they were tape delayed. So if you wanted to watch the 7 p.m. game, you had to stay awake until 11 when they finally pushed the game. And I do remember that. Also, there was this weird guy that confused the teams and the players. So I remember watching a Pacers game against I can't remember who it was, but he thought he was narrating the Lakers game. I'm like, no, that's the Pacers. It says Indiana on the jersey. Anyways, that's a failed experiment, the Grizzlies. I think I've talked about this in a previous episode, but I did two research papers during my master's program. Shout out, master's communication program at McMaster University. Thank you for allowing me to do my papers on basketball. Not sure how far we're going to go, but who knows? Maybe one day. And it's funny, I did a poll with, I think I got over 100 results. Long story short is that I wanted to find out if people in Vancouver, obviously it's a tiny sample.
100? 100 is nothing. I know it's not. We have 200 followers.
I know it's, nice plug. But anything below 100 was invalid. Obviously I needed a bigger sample. Maybe if anyone out there wants to follow up on my study, I'll be happy to do so. But I wanted to find out if the Grizzlies came back, would the people be interested in going and seeing them? So one of my questions was, do you think Vancouver is ready to host an NBA team again? Everyone, like 95% of the people said yes. The other 5% said, or around 4% said, I'm not sure, like I don't care. And around 1% said, no, I don't think we're ready. But one of my follow-up questions was, well, would you buy season tickets to see the Grizzlies? Because realistically, that's how the teams make money. That's how they secure a lot of the fandom.
Yeah.
98% people said no. They said, I would only buy the tickets if they're cheap. Which, yes, if they...
So they want another Vancouver Giants, basically.
Yeah, and even then, like, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
But I think...
I feel them, because it's understandable in a city that it's as expensive as Vancouver that you want like cheap options to take your family and right. You know, like we went to the baseball game. What is the name of the team?
Vancouver the Canadians.
Canadians, yeah.
How that original.
That was amazing. I mean, that was fun actually.
Yeah, it was only like $20 or something per ticket.
And then you have enough money to buy ice cream and other things.
But it's
and
also
so
the
on.
Minor leagues, right? We're not watching like it's quality baseball, as far as I'm concerned, but it wouldn't be the same. This is the NBA, right?
Maybe that's why no one has tried to bring the Grizzlies back yet, because maybe they know about this, you know, like they know that the people here, they are looking for maybe another team. They would be happy with another team, but they want a cheap option for entertainment.
Which is weird, because, you know, I also did another paper in which I looked at the National Basketball League of Canada, and they are primarily based on the East Coast, mm-hmm. mostly in Ontario.
Halifax, they have a very traditional team.
They
right?
used to. They lost it.
Rainbow?
The Rainmen.
Yeah.
They lost them. They no longer exist. Hmm. That's the story of the NBLC. Some teams get created. Sometimes they fold. Anyways, now there's another league, the CEBL, created by one of the former owners of one of the teams. Anyways, but they offer cheap entertainment, good basketball. Sometimes they get all the kids from Canadian universities and they draft them, which is good. I mean, it's good enough and it's cheap. The problem is that they're not located in any major cities. So the CEBL, which is a Canadian Basketball League or something like that, I forgot the acronym, they're going to have a team in our province, in British Columbia, but it's going to be based out of Abbotsford. Mm-hmm. So if you and I ever wanted to go watch a game, we would have to drive an hour away from the city and watch one of these games, which realistically we're not going to do it.
Yeah,
so that's a problem.
Yeah, but you know, it's also debatable if the best place to put the team, if you want the community to embrace it, would be downtown. I'm not sure if that's the case, because people that were born and raised in Vancouver, sometimes I feel like they feel more identified with their you know, like neighborhoods, or if they're from, for example, from another part of Metro Vancouver, from Burnaby, they feel like Burnaby is more what they want to embrace, or they feel more part of Burnaby than they feel about downtown Vancouver or Vancouver, you know, the city itself. So I don't know if you need everyone to embrace it, and you need Burnaby, you need, you know, all the parts of Metro Vancouver, Surrey and so on, for it to be.
I think there's potential because, you know, when was it, late 90s, early 2000s, that the Grizzlies left town? I think their last season was in 2002, if I'm not mistaken. The NBA wasn't as big as it is now. The Raptors were not as big as they are now. The Raptors are now Canada's team.
Yeah.
And every time the Raptors go far in the playoffs, people here support them a lot. And every time they come for the preseason, Rogers Arena gets sold out. So there's demand, yes. I don't know if they would enter, you know, with very expensive tickets if we ever got a team back. But I think there's potential. The infrastructure is here. So it's just a matter of really good management.
Yeah.
Obviously, no one expects them to win on the first season whatsoever.
And also taking into account that we have so many people that moved to Vancouver, but they were not originally from Canada. I wonder if they've been supporting the Raptors, how loyal they are to the Raptors, and if they would be willing to just change like this, you know, and
let's think
embrace
about,
a team in Vancouver.
You know, how much the actual sport has grown internationally. It really, in the past 10, 20 years, it became a global sport, especially the NBA. It became a global league. And you now have kids like Luka Doncic that are very well known, even though they never studied in the States. He's a phenom from Europe, but we all know about his path to the NBA now. So it's really a global game now. I think things would be different. But having said all of that, I would give Seattle a team before Vancouver.
Yeah, it makes more sense. And I'm, you know, I think giving Seattle the Supersonics back, I think that would make a lot of sense, even as a reward to how they've been supporting the WNBA.
Let's talk about that a little bit. The Seattle Storm, they're WNBA champs. They swept the Washington Mystics 3-0. And it was amazing to see, at least from my end. Obviously, the games were fantastic. Brianna Stewart was the MVP, the finals MVP. But Sue Bird, she went old school and basically rescued the Storm whenever they needed her. I'm so happy for her. I want to desperately get a jersey of her. Not the new ones, because the new ones suck, let's be honest. I want the old school one that says Storm across the chest from Adidas or Reebok. I don't know. But what was really cool is that Key Arena in Seattle was packed for every game.
Yeah.
And that's a big, almost FU to the NBA, saying, look, you took the Sonics away from us. We're still going to support the Storm. And, I mean, it's really cool that the community came behind the Storm.
Yeah, and I was wondering if they do get the Supersonics back. Seattle, it's a bit of a, like a, I was going to say hipster community or like left wing kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're more like,
yeah.
They're not the, how can I say that without sounding too controversial? They're very like, how can I say, they think about things, they want to think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm wondering if they would be willing to pay that much for NBA tickets just out of principle, you know what I mean?
Whoa.
So that would be interesting to see. But anyways, going back to the Seattle Storm, they actually got they had a parade.
Yeah.
And it was, there were lots of people.
Yeah.
Supporting them, and then the parade finished, or they got to Key Arena. They went inside, and there were a lot of lots of people inside Key Arena.
No, that was really cool. This, to me at least, this is the season where the WNBA finally got the recognition it deserved from other players, mainly from the NBA and from the media. Like, everyone was actually, I don't know if the, obviously it's the NBA that has become probably, arguably the biggest league in North America. And one of the main exports in terms of sports in the world. Like, everyone knows who LeBron James is. Everyone knows who Steph Curry is. And this is obviously from when Yao Ming made, you know, a big splash in basketball and so on and so on. Like, there's a lot of figures that helped in that process. But I think right now the WNBA should build on that.
Like Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah, sure. Well, he's part of the process. Absolutely.
He was a great player. It's just that he didn't come from a country that has 3 billion people. So that's why
he didn't help as much. But my point here is that, and I think, I can't remember right now who said it. It was an NBA player. I think it was Kobe. I might be mistaken. But it was Kobe Bryant, Isaiah Thomas, or Kyrie Irving that said, if you don't like women's basketball, you don't like basketball. You like entertainment, which is fine. If you want to see the entertainment side of basketball, that's fine. You also pay a ticket. You deserve to be entertained by, you know, just as much as you and I might go to a baseball game or a football game. We want entertainment, right? We don't really care about what play they're running or their strategy, which is fine.
Yeah.
But people that love basketball should make a little bit of effort to support the WNBA.
I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a video on YouTube, ESPN. Mm-hmm. ESPN's channel on YouTube, they have, you know, the jump
yeah.
videos, and one, I think it was like 4 to 5 months ago, the season was still on, maybe the playoffs, and Tracy McGrady, because he's part of the show, right? Tracy yeah. McGrady and Chauncey Billups is there sometimes, and they had a guest. It was a player from the WNBA. I can't remember her name, from the Minnesota Lynx, I think.
Okay.
And they were talking about different topics. She was talking about her new car and so on.
Yeah.
And eventually Tracy McGrady said, you know what, I'm going to ask you a very controversial question, but I've been always curious about this and how you girls feel about it and so on. How do you feel about lowering the hoop?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, no, yes. T-Mac. No. Yes.
You should check it out.
And then I will. I haven't seen this.
She didn't get upset, but she was like very, how can I say, straightforward and tough with her answer.
Of course. Yeah. It's not like they're...
Because he said that if they could dunk, then more people would be interested.
T-Mac, I don't know. I don't want to start a storm here. Storm. Seattle storm. That's stupid. Just stupid. It's not like they're throwing air balls because the hoop is too high. They cannot dunk. Big deal. People couldn't. Like, it was... The NBA forbade
dunking. I mean,
dunking.
In Mexico, men cannot dunk in Mexico still.
Oh, we can. We can. Have you been to one of our games? You should.
You mean the two Americans are playing normally?
They're Mexican-American. And no, we have people that can dunk. Just because I'm short doesn't mean anything. But no, that's a stupid question. Straight up.
No, but it was... I was quite surprised.
What's next? Like... I'm glad that he didn't ask him, like, don't you want to paint the rims pink?
Yeah.
Maybe more people would be attracted to that. Shame on you, T-Mac. Shame on you. Don't at me, T-Mac. anyways, let's talk about Stephen Marbury. Do you remember Starbury?
Yeah.
So, over the past few days, he made this controversial take on Instagram Live. He said that Zion Williamson is already better than LeBron James. He said that Zion can shoot better than LeBron, and that makes him automatically better.
But why are people listening to Stephen Marbury still?
I don't know. I just found it very interesting that I don't know if he's, you know, asking for attention. He did a fantastic career in China. I'll give him that. He's one of the very few people who's a permanent resident of China, which is very rare. He got a documentary, a musical, a museum, even a what's that called for the postcards? The
stamp.
The stamps. Yes, thank you. I mean, just shut up, man. You don't see Kobe, you don't see Kevin Garnett, you don't see any other legends comparing rookies to any current players.
He's not even a rookie yet.
He's still playing the NCAA. He still has to play
his first season.
His first official game with Duke. I don't know. It's funny that Stephen Marbury wants to already outplay LeBron when this guy has been in his prime for the past 10 years. And there's no way that you can get a college kid to beat him. Is he big? Is he close physically to what LeBron used to be? Maybe.
No, LeBron is definitely, you know, getting towards the end of his career.
It's starting. I can feel that, yes. But it's not like you can go like,
don't worry about LeBron. When he moved to the Lakers.
No way. Hell no. That is not even close. Not even close, man. No. Would you leave LeBron open in this day and time?
It would be funny, though, if the end of the story is the same as what happened when you had Karl Malone and Gary Payton in this
game. I don't think so, because you don't have four massive egos at the same place, right? It's basically LeBron's team. If we get someone else, they know they're going to play second fiddle to LeBron.
I can see three big egos.
Whom? LeBron.
LeBron, Magic Johnson, and LaVar Ball.
But Magic is on the same boat as LeBron. They're buddies. Magic is his mentor in the business side. I don't think there's going to be any contradictions there.
How do you think Magic would react if he starts to feel like LeBron is trying or is actually running the show? If he is actually
I think that's fine. I mean, Magic knows that any moves that the Lakers do right now have to go through LeBron. The same way that they used to go through Kobe. The same way that when Magic was, you know, sort of the owner of the team, when he was a player, they had to go through him. That's one of the secret strengths of Magic Johnson as our, not general manager, president of basketball operations. He was on the other side. He was a superstar.
But even if these two get along, which I think it's possible because they're both reasonable people.
Magic is the reason why LeBron is in the Lakers.
Yeah, so they can get along. They're both reasonable. They want to win. But what about the third one? LaVar Ball.
He's an idiot.
So he could, straight up. He could, you know, end up generating a lot of conflict, and maybe his son might get traded.
Which, you know, I've always said that I support Lonzo, and I keep supporting him because I'm a Lakers fan. I don't just support one player. But if I wake up to the news that maybe we package Lonzo and someone else
to Minnesota for Jimmy Butler,
I'm fine with that. I'd rather have LeBron. I don't want to give up Ingram. I would love to keep everyone, realistically. Lonzo, Kuzma, Josh Hart. But if I wake up to those news in exchange for a superstar, I'm absolutely fine with that. Absolutely. And that's what the Lakers have going on, the flexibility, that they can do this, they can keep the young core. Anyways, got a little bit derailed there from Stephen Marbury.
Yeah, I mean, that's how much time we're willing to dedicate to Stephen Marbury.
Yeah, true. let's move on. Let's talk about... let's catch up more like to Nike's campaign on Colin Kaepernick and the slogan, which is believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. We're obviously late to the party. All the reactions are out there. I just want to give my 2 cents, which I think was very smart. Nike's doing the right thing, not only socially, but on the business side. They're doing something very smart. All the people that are cutting out the swooshes and burning their Nikes.
They're just stupid. These are the same people that burned LeBron James' jersey when he moved from one team to another and so on.
Hold that thought, because I want to get back to that. But what these people don't realize is that, first off, Nike already made a profit out of them, right? They already gave Nike their money. And do you think Nike is afraid of losing the right-wing white male demographic? No. All their sneakers are urban. Their gear is made for the urban youth, athlete, whatever you want to call them. They're not catering to that 45-year-old dude that wears Air Monarchs and thinks he's cool and who's extremely right-winged.
And also the rednecks that wear Timberland.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
No, but what kind of boots do they wear when they go to the...
Some crappy old Nikes that, I don't know. I mean, I think the ad, have you watched the ad, the entire thing?
I've seen the, I haven't seen the ad, but I've seen the pictures, you know, like there's like the Instagram stills. Posts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen that with his face behind the slogan, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think that it's important to mention that he's not the only case that they use for that campaign. They had several athletes that they used for that campaign, right? So people just got upset because they used Kaepernick as one of the athletes to back it up, just because of the whole situation with the national anthem.
Yeah.
Guess what? He can do whatever he wants when the national anthem is playing.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, he's a citizen of that country. I can see how if they, you know, if we did that, you or I. Yeah, I can see how people would be outraged.
But we have even less reasons to stand up. I mean,
we need to be respectful. I agree with that part.
We do it out of respect.
Right.
But we don't need to if we don't want to.
But and the funny thing is that, you know, it was thrown out there that the person that suggested Colin Kaepernick to take a knee was a Marine, a former Marine. He said, like, we do it in the military all the time. We kneel down for the anthem. Not necessarily for protest, but to honor something. So it was out of respect. I don't want to get into politics, but I think we should make that clear that we both were on the same page with Nike. And also, this was on the... let's talk about the sneakers side, like, or the things that impact the business the most. They totally threw Adidas, Under Armour, New Balance under the bus. They're like, you guys don't want to talk about it? We'll do, and we're not afraid of it. So now everyone is talking about Nike still.
Yeah, but
do you think anyone else cares about the other brands? No.
But I don't. At the end of the day, I am not 100% sure about their motives. I'm not sure that they are doing because they care about the cause or because they want us to talk about it because they think it's important for people to communicate about these things. That's not what they care.
I agree. I mean,
all they care is about generating, you know, hype and people talking about the brand and, you know,
but becoming they did.
Viral and so on, which they did. So it worked.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to say that I think there's not a lot of people out there that do things because they really believe in, you know, their motives, or because they really want to do something legit, especially when it's coming from the corporate world. I think most of the times there's a reason behind it.
I think all the athletes that are featured in the ad, so I remember Serena Williams, LeBron, Colin Kaepernick, some skateboarder that I truly don't know who that is. I can't remember who else right now, but all those people do the things they do legitimately
because they care. Yes, the athletes,
and I think what Nike did is take them as a vessel to obviously push their brand, push their products. But what I'm saying is, like, I agree with you. I don't think Nike is a social warrior. Very far from it, because as much as I am a Nike fanboy, they do have problems with sweatshops in Southeast Asia and whatnot. So, I mean, if you want to get upset at that, then if you want to get upset at Nike, call them out on their BS, not just on this.
Yeah.
But I think it was very smart, honestly. Like, I haven't seen even Puma, who was, I felt, was gaining a lot of ground in the basketball world.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're quiet. After this, this was the perfect timing, the perfect campaign, the perfect everything for Nike. And you have football season that just started, so obviously they did it at the right time. Basketball just started. They have contracts with both of those leagues. I mean, I forgot his name, but it's not Phil Knight, the new CEO of Nike.
Can't remember.
They're swimming. They're going to swim in money.
Hmm.
And if they want to send us some, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, you probably saw that I posted about the magazine.
Oh, now we're taking credit for the posts?
Anyways, you probably saw the post about the Slam.
Top 50 players?
Kicks. You know, the one that I bought last week. So I noticed that they're talking about, I don't know if it's a new brand or not, but it's the first time I've seen it. It's like Q something. It's like the letter Q and then something.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. It's not new, but I don't know. With the thing with Kicks, I love Slam. Let me just start off by saying I love Slam. The very first one that I bought was when I came to Canada, I don't know how many years ago, and I saw LeBron James on the cover. He was still with the Cavs on the first time. And I bought it, and I was like, how can I get this magazine? I couldn't get it back home. So when we moved here, I started buying it religiously every month, every month, every month. I got a subscription at one point. I now buy it every month again. Anyways, but their Kicks version, I thought it was always going to be the best and the most exclusive, which is not necessarily true. Obviously, it's a magazine. They try to get as many sponsors as they can. But now they talk about Anta, about Leaning, about this Q thing.
I think they
big baller brand.
They must talk about the new brands as well. I mean, of course, some of them might be paying them to talk about them, but or to feature them. But at the end of the day, I think that you must recognize whoever is, you know, like trying to establish a new brand and make a new movement, just because you never know who's going to become the next thing, big thing. And you want to make sure that they don't feel like you ignored them at the beginning, right?
I guess so, yeah.
But I was going to say, I also love Slam. I don't buy it as religiously as you.
Yeah.
Normally I buy when I have a business trip and I want to read something during the flight and so on. I used to buy it more often, but one thing that I noticed when you, and also one reason I wasn't buying, because we've been living together for a long time, so if you're buying it, there's no reason for me to buy it as well.
True.
But anyways, one thing I noticed is that when you subscribed, the quality of the magazine that the people that subscribe get, it's lower than the one that you got from, that you can get from London Drugs and other stores. The cover is like different kind of paper.
The entire thing, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's not fair.
But you know what? You get a much cheaper deal. So
they should give you both options though, because some people they want to have the, you know, the magazine same quality as what you would get from any other store.
There was this special when I was on the subscription that I get mailed every month, and like you said, the paper quality was not the greatest one. It was very thin paper. You couldn't flip the pages real fast because otherwise it would rip. And they had this special edition on Kobe. It was everything about Kobe, sort of like a look at his career. And I got really mad because I wanted that in the nice thin paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up buying it at the newsstand in, you know, a drugstore, just because I wanted the real thing. So technically, I bought that one twice.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a better deal when you buy the subscription. I'm not complaining necessarily, but you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's next?
Yep. Since we're still talking about shoes, and you posted about N1.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It was their 25th anniversary, right?
Yes.
You want to take it away?
Well, you know I'm a big fan, right?
You are, yeah.
Are you a big fan?
Not necessarily. I'm not in love with their shoes. I used to like their t-shirts a lot.
Yeah, that's how everything started, right? I mean, I'm sure that there's more to the story than
pretty
before
sure.
that. But anyways, the t-shirts are my first memory. When I was like 13, 14, and that was probably the time in my life that I was playing basketball the most or more often.
Yeah.
And I was playing in the team that I showed you in Brazil, Paulistano and so on. I used to go quite often with my father when he had to go to the US for business trips. He used to take me.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to a store that I can't remember the name now. In the US, people, if we have listeners in the US and huge audience.
We do. Majority of our audience is in the States,
someone,
probably.
Yes, someone is going to remember that store.
You remember what letter you started with? It was not Foot Locker,
No. It was a big store. And they had, almost every store had a basketball hoop inside. They had half court.
Oh.
You know, like a street ball kind of court kind of thing, like one hoop only.
Okay.
And it was like a cage, a red cage. And so we used to go to that store.
Holy crap.
And I would start playing and I would, you know, keep shooting the ball for like an hour and a half.
Without buying a single product.
No, we would end up buying, but my father wanted to leave and I didn't want to leave just because I wanted to keep playing. And that's the first time I've seen stuff from N1. But at the time, I saw that, you know, the character that they have on the t-shirt.
The faceless man?
Yeah, the faceless man. But I didn't know what it was about. Like, I didn't know about N1. I even had one shirt. I bought one t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know about the brand. And after that, I started, you know, watching the documentaries. Maybe 2 years after that, I heard about the mixtapes.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. That was like...
The mixtapes, yeah. I remember when that arrived in Mexico. It was probably a couple of years later. But I do remember just being like, holy crap, I didn't know you could do that with a basketball.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I remember seeing Hot Sauce, The Professor.
But my favorite
Escalade,
one, my favorite
rest
one
in
is
peace.
Mixtape one with Skip to Malu.
Skip to Malu.
And then when I came to Canada for high school, first time I came to Canada, he was playing with the Raptors that season.
Skip to Malu.
Yeah, Rafer Alston. So, I mean, the Raptors at the time, they sucked. And it was the season that Vince Carter got traded to the Nets when I was here.
But wait, did you ever own any N1s?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know.
Tai Chi. I had the...
The ones from the dunk contest. From Vince
yes,
Carter's
but not
contest.
The same colorway. Mine were navy one side and gray the other side.
Okay.
I bought them at like a sports authority, I think.
I don't know.
I can still remember it. And I used them for such a long time. They were always my go-to shoes, basketball shoes, because I wouldn't feel bad about using them outside or inside. And, you know, I really, really liked them. And then I had another pair, white with blue.
Tai Chis as well.
No, not Tai Chis. They were different model and they were like low cuts.
Okay.
Yeah. Really liked them as well. But the Tai Chis were definitely my favorite end ones.
Were they comfortable?
Very comfortable. And what else what else do I have or did I have in the past? Well, you know what? I have all the DVDs still. Like I have mixtape. The original mixtapes, the original DVDs, I have like 3, 4, 5 and some others.
Yeah.
But the At first, I used to, you know, download all of them in Brazil because you wouldn't get the DVDs. It was impossible to get the DVDs. So I was downloading them, and at that time I realized that I would love to incorporate some of that to my game.
Yeah.
And at least try to learn some of the things. And you know, you can definitely notice when someone watched the tapes and someone didn't watch the tapes.
So you're trying to do all these crazy things in the
court. Well, and also because, you know, you're trying to do different things and passes, and you're more aware. And I think people could definitely notice that, you know, you have different influences.
Yeah.
And then later on, it became a huge thing. They came to Brazil.
I went to Brazil.
Yeah, with the mixtape tour.
Oh, wow.
I went to the trials.
You did?
Yeah, and I played not against them, of course, but they had like a bunch of different people playing against themselves to try to get selected.
Holy crap.
And then I went to the actual game. I went to both games. They had Saturday and Sunday, and I went to both games. In one of the games, I got called to shoot three-pointers during halftime. Yeah.
I'm sure there's footage of... I need to find this video. There must be footage of you when you were, what, 13, 14?
No, at the time playing? I was like 17, 18
probably. Oh, there you go. So even better. There must be footage of the tryouts, of the outside run, right?
There's footage of that day. I found it on YouTube. There's footage of the players being driven to the park where I was playing. ESPN Brazil.
Did you see yourself?
No.
ESPN
Brazil.
That's what I'm aiming at.
Yeah, so that was amazing. And they came back, I think, another time. And it was Streetball, the TV show. You know, remember Streetball?
No, I never watched it.
Well, after mixtape became a huge thing and N1 was huge in the US, they became popular in other countries as well.
Yeah.
And Streetball was like a huge thing at the time. They had a show on ESPN called Streetball. And that's how they discovered the professor. That's how they recruited the professor. Every week they would go to a different city and they would do trials. And they would play against the best players from that city.
Yeah.
And select one player to travel with them to the next city. And in the next city they would play again.
Yeah.
And they would decide if they would keep that player from the previous city.
Yeah.
And the player would stay with us, with them.
With us.
Yeah, with them for the next city. Or if they would select somebody else from that city.
Interesting.
So at the end of the whole season, whoever is with them at the end would get signed. And that's how they signed the professor.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, happy 25th, N1.
And Kevin Garnett is working with them now.
He's back now.
Kevin Garnett was one of their players back when he was in the NBA. And now he's working with them as the... What was it? Commercial director, I think?
Yeah, I can't remember the title, but... Okay, so a lot of people, I think, or a good amount of people saw the trivia that we posted on our Instagram account. Do you want to give the answer now? I don't think we ever gave it.
Yeah, not yet. So it's Daryl Armstrong. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Point guard of the Orlando Magic.
During the 90s, he was... for a long time, he played with the Orlando Magic. And he was never drafted. He was not drafted, and then he went to Spain, and he played in another country, maybe Lithuania, I think, 1 year.
I don't know.
And then he went to Spain, and he was the MVP of their league, of the Spanish league, for 1 year. And then he got signed by the Magic. He played there for a long time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Troy Hudson, I think, was a similar story.
Troy Hudson.
Yeah, he was also. He was not drafted. And he was a great player there, Armstrong. He was so fast.
Yeah.
He was a short guy that could dunk. And I mentioned that most people remember him because of a
blooper. I was going to ask you about that. I don't remember any bloopers.
Yeah. From Daryl Armstrong. I'm sure that he remembers. And many people still remember. But basically, it was a fast break.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all by himself. And he wanted to dunk the ball, which he did. But, you know... He kind of...
Did the ball rattle out?
Yeah, no, he didn't miss the dunk. He dunked the ball, but he was hanging for too long.
Yeah.
And then his body, you know, like...
Oh, the movement forward.
Yeah, the movement of his body ended up making him fall on his face. Yeah.
I need to Google that or YouTube it, I
and
should say.
It's so funny because his legs, as he's falling and flying, his legs are like moving. Yeah.
I don't remember that. And I have to admit that I love basketball trivia, and I pride myself in knowing a lot of useless things. This was hard. This one was hard. Very hard.
And he's now coaching with, I don't know if it's with the Memphis Grizzlies. Someone.
I can't remember.
He's like an assistant
yeah.
coach.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, it's one of these players that people don't really... Well, I know him basically because I had NBA League Pass at the time.
I remember going back him with to the Magic.
Going back to NBA League Pass.
He was very scrappy, and I always liked that.
One of the things that when I had NBA League Pass, and it was only one season because my father was very upset that I was staying up late every night. But one of the things that I was surprised when we had League Pass is that all of these weird networks that I never heard about, yeah. local networks, their broadcasts were, you know, basically taken by DirecTV, and they would show it straight as it is in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
without Brazilian
ads
and without Brazilian broadcasters.
Okay.
It was in English.
Yeah.
And you would get the American commercials. And I'm talking about like FS1 and Madison's MSG,
yeah.
and all these networks that, like, if you're Brazilian, you never heard about them. Maybe you know about ABC, NBC, TNT, and so on. But
yeah.
these local ones, they're very hard to come across.
Right, right.
And the Southwest Airlines commercials and, you know, like Sonic, you know, the fast food
yeah.
chain.
Yeah, now I know, but
yeah,
that's crazy. So you were exposed to all the American media when you were younger.
Yes.
Not that I wasn't, but like Sonic, pff, no way.
Yeah. And what's the name of that other one that it's... is it IHOP? That no, Jack in the Box. Yeah, Jack in the Box.
I've seen the other. I've never tried it ever. Let's wrap up this sneakers talk with recent news that the NBA now, this upcoming season, will allow players to wear all colors on sneakers. There's no ban on certain colors. So just as a quick preface, the NBA has a very loose rule on the color of the sneakers that players can wear. Usually they say, like, if you're the away team, you can wear dark colors on your sneakers. Back in the day, you know, pre-Jordan times, when he released the Jordan ones, or Nike did, if you were the away team, you had to wear the color of the uniform or black. So Chicago Bulls, if they were away, they had to wear all red or all black. If you were home, you had to wear, again, your uniform color or white.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the whole thing with the Air Jordans one came about. They were banned, yada, 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 yada. But now, players will be allowed to wear whatever color they want, regardless of if they're local or the visiting team. Or there were a few dates in the calendar, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Martin Luther King Day, where players didn't have any restrictions, but now it's all 82 games. They can yeah. wear whatever the hell they want.
I'm not a big fan.
Why not?
Of this new rule, just because until now you had the special dates, as you mentioned, and the fact that they could wear whatever they want on mm-hmm. these dates made the dates special, and now they're just gonna become another regular game.
I doubt it. No, I mean, first off, these games are rivalry games, right? So you're going to probably see like Lakers-Warriors probably in this date. So that's already going to be a good game. And the fact that they can wear now whatever they want on their feet, I think that's going to make it even more interesting because, and I heard this, I cannot take credit for this, but this is really good analysis from one of the many other podcasts that I listen to. The NBA and the basketball sneakers are one of the few things that you see in sports that, you know, if you see your favorite player wearing something, you can actually wear it too. The same color sometimes, right? You can do the same with football. You can do the same thing for soccer sometimes, other than the shirts or in the jerseys. But if there's a special colorway that is released for, I don't know, a player's birthday or what have you, you can probably get your hands on one of these editions.
Freaking expensive.
It is. I agree 100%. But... you know,
and then you buy it and you feel bad about wearing them because
the sneakers became part of expression of the player's self-expression. It, as a fan, you have the liberty to now even customize them on Nike.com,
yeah.
right? And I'm sure there must be something for Adidas. My Adidas, I think it's called. So it's one of the elements of basketball that already transcended the league a long time ago. Like, players are getting their sneakers customized by all these artists that look fantastic. I think this was a smart move by the NBA by saying, you know what? Instead of restricting it, let's make it available.
Well, we need to wait and see what's going to happen, because sometimes you give people too much freedom and they just go crazy. Let's see.
Who's going to go crazy? Nick Young? Regret. Probably. PJ Tucker, who are known for their sneaker game. I don't see Joe Ingles getting crazy customs other than probably writing his kids' names on his sneakers. I don't see what's the big deal there.
But yeah, I was going to say that I have a hard time buying shoes and not wearing them, just because most of the times when I buy shoes, it's because I like them so much, my sneakers, my basketball sneakers especially, that I want to wear them every time. Or even if it's like a regular, like the ones that I have on right now. I bought them last year and I've been wearing them like almost every day because they're so comfortable from New Balance.
But those are your street go-to.
Yes.
We all have that pair.
And I've been thinking about buying the same pair. Like, but a new one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just because I like them so much.
I have to admit that was my policy up until even not that long ago. I've been with my girlfriend 6 years, and it wasn't up until like a year ago that I decided.
Why are you comparing?
Hold on.
Where are you going with this? Hold
on. Until she didn't convince me, but I, for some reason, started wearing my sneakers that I didn't want to wear that often with her. And she said, like, well, you know, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like showing them off to you, maybe. I don't know. She's always seen them in the closet. Might as well wear it with them, with her. So, I don't know. If it wasn't for her, I would still have some sneakers that I've only worn like once in my life. And they've been in my closet for years.
Yeah. And when you find something that, at least that's how it is with me, when I find something that I really, really like, I want to make sure that I buy them again. During university, I don't know if you remember, I had a pair of Nikes that I really, really liked for a while.
Not really.
I don't remember the model. But anyways, the next ones that I'm going to buy, I found them today and I really, really liked. Air Max 270, grape colorway.
No, that's a no-no for me.
You know, but you know which one I'm talking about?
Okay, let me check them right now.
It's so white, Air Max, so you're not going to like.
270?
Yeah, grape color.
Grape. Let's see.
This one is the cactus. Dusty cactus. I really like that one.
Grape here.
No, that's not grape.
It's not the white. It's, I don't know. Air Maxes. I'm not a huge fan of Air Maxes. I think it's the air bubble that bothers me a little bit. It's too exposed. Which is weird because there's an Air Max Day and people go crazy about their Air Maxes. Right now, the only ones that I have on my site are the new Kobe's. And once the season starts, I want to buy the new LeBrons with some sort of Lakers colorway.
What really bothers me is when people start buying the same everyone's wearing the same shoes. Like, for example, you know, with the Adidas, what is the name of that?
The Yeezys?
No, not the Yeezys, the Lee something. You know, the one I'm talking about is white with green. They don't wear it to play. It's not a basketball shoe. It's like a streetwear kind of.
Lee.
Not Stan Lee. It's
Stan
Smith. Stan Smith,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So those ones. Everyone still is wearing them. And for a while, it was even worse than it is now. And I almost end up buying them. But I was like, no, I'm not going to buy them.
Oh, you almost...
I'm not going to buy them.
You're almost a victim of capitalism.
Yes. And now it's the Adidas Boost, right?
Yeah.
Everyone loves the Adidas
Boost. No, everyone's wearing Yeezys right now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't hate upper shoes more than that. I hate how they look. I hate how expensive they are.
Oh, it's probably because you relate the shoes to the person.
Also that, I'm not a huge fan of Kanye West. I used to like his music a lot more than I do
now. I like his music, yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. In the past, I liked it
but
a lot.
I don't know. It's just, I really don't like how they look. The sole looks like a tire. It looks like you grabbed a tire from any vehicle and just put a shoe on top of it. I don't like them. I do have something against very expensive shoes, and that sounds very hypocritical because I buy them the moment they go out, the ones that I like. And I also have a problem with how stores manage their limited releases. I don't care. This is going to be a long one. This is going to be a long episode, but since we've dedicated a good part of this to sneakers, I'm going to complain about my experience with the Kobe 1's Protro.
So, it's okay, we have time because we have to make up for the time we wasted with Stephen Marbury.
Yeah, that's true. So that shoe came out. I missed the first release, which was the Del Sol colorway, black and yellow. So black and yellow. So I waited patiently for the next one, which is the I think it was called Home, which is just white, purple and yellow, so Lakers colorway. This is the very first time.
Fan.
This is the first Kobe shoe, and the only ones that I'm missing up to date are the twos and the threes. So for me, this is huge. I wanted to have all of them, not necessarily the sideline that Kobe released. Are the mentalities?
What about the Adidas models? Do you have them?
No, I don't have them.
Okay.
But I wanted to have at least the Nikes from 1 to ADs, all of them, and I'm up to date. Except for the twos and threes, because I wasn't here. I was back home when those were released. Anyways, this is the first time in my life where I was willing to sleep outside of a store if that meant that I could get the shoe. So I go to our House of Hoops. We only have one of those in Vancouver. I'm surprised that we even have one. And I made it pretty early in the morning to House of Hoops, and there were people lined up outside. And I go to the store, and I go to the clerk, this random teenager, he's probably half my age, that feels weird, 15, I'm 30, anyways, he's like, do you have a pair already? He's like, which one are you looking for, Mike? The Kobe ones. Like, okay, do you have a pair already? I'm like, no. Okay, so you can get in. I'm like, what are the other five dudes in front of me doing? He's like, they already bought one, so they're waiting to go back in. And I asked him, like, oh, I thought it was one per person. He's like, well, yeah, but we don't have a lot of people, so we're allowing them to buy more. So I was already not happy with that, because it should be, you know, you already got your pair, get the hell out, right? Anyways, I go in, there's five people ahead of me, and there's this one guy that buys four pairs of the Kobe's from sizes 8.5 to, I think it was 10.5 or 11. He didn't even try them on. He barely opened them from the box. He just told the guy at the till, yeah, that's fine, just give them to me. He turns around to his buddy. He says, I'm going to make so much money on eBay.
Yeah, that's stupid. And you know, I'm going to go a step further. And I'm just going to say that we've been victims of this world and how it's changing. Because we originally came to Canada from countries that there's close to no rules. You can do whatever you want.
I don't know if I would describe it as you can do whatever you want.
Anyways, you can do a lot of things that you wouldn't be allowed to do here.
Yeah.
Other than smoke weed, because here you can smoke weed whenever you want, and you're not really allowed to do that in public there.
Get to your point.
Anyways, and then we get here, and we come to this country where people are very squared in so many aspects, and they're very fair, and they want to follow the rules and so on, and we had to adapt to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we are adapted, it's changing. Now you're getting people that, you know, are breaking the rules and not being fair and not following whatever they said, whatever rule that they said they were going to follow, like the guy from the store.
Okay, but to your point,
so now I'm confused. What should I do? Should I change again?
To your point, back home, it's fair in the sense that anything goes. So you have to be smart about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But here in this environment, it's not like that.
Well, because right? you expect people to follow the
right,
rules.
Right, but if someone, like, you cannot expect to, you know, not, if you get a ticket for jaywalking back in our countries, I would be upset because everyone does it, right?
Yeah.
And that to me wouldn't be fair. But if I jaywalk here and I get a ticket, I shouldn't be surprised because that's not the rules here.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think that applies to this situation, because it was clear from Foot Locker's Canada, terrible social media, by the way, I'm calling them out, that it was supposed to be one per person.
Exactly. So you came prepared to what to, you know, witness what you read, because that was what they promoted or what they said. And then you were not prepared to be smart and do something different and try to take advantage of
even
the situation.
Then, let's say that I'm willing to go with that, right? With you buy 8 and we sell them on eBay. I'm still not down with that, because I'm somewhat of a purist from I'm a romantic of the sport and anything around that, in the sense that I already got my pair, right? For the price, they were expensive already. Why would I want to make a profit out of it? There's probably a kid behind me or someone. Like, I see myself when I drag my parents to the bootleg market trying to get the sneakers that I wanted. And I couldn't find them because they either didn't have my number or didn't have that model. So honestly, I wasn't upset because I got my pair. Actually, it was later on that I got my pair. But I can see that 12-year-old that is completely in love with basketball, dragging his dad or his mom to get the pair that he wants, right? Maybe that's going to be his pair for the next year or so. And this imbecile that wants to make a few bucks on eBay buys all of them.
Yeah.
So that is not fair. If you call yourself a sneakerhead, you're part of a community. I don't care. You can buy another one. Fine. And trade them and get something out of it. Don't just rip off people on eBay. Because the moment that I couldn't get my pair that day, I went online and the sneakers were around 270 Canadian, which is like 250 US. That's expensive. That's more than I would like to pay.
Yeah.
But I was willing to pay the price. That's why I work. Anyways, online they were going for $900. The cheapest one that I found, was around $350 American, plus shipping. Do you think anyone else would buy that shoe? Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not fair. It's not fair for people that actually want to wear the shoe, and for that one kid that loves basketball.
That's the oldest rule, oldest economic rule, out there, supply and demand. I mean, as long as there's a demand, as long as there's people willing to pay $900, then these stupid guys will keep on doing it.
Yeah.
They're both stupid.
I'm not saying, you know, I guess kudos on these idiots for having entrepreneur spirit, making money out of, or tripling the price of a shoe. I do feel bad for the people that end up buying them, because you're an idiot. If you really want the shoe, wake up earlier, like, you know, do your due diligence, right? Like, I tried to. I woke up early, I took the SkyTrain, tried to get there, didn't make it. I should have woken up earlier. Luckily for me, there was another release. But I don't think it's cool that you take something away from people that legitimately love the sport, legitimately want to wear the shoe, just because you want to make a couple extra bucks. You're taking away something that maybe a kid and their parents are actually looking forward to.
And maybe the cashier from Foot Locker is also making some money out of it.
Oh, I totally think they were into it, yeah. But this to me is equivalent of...
These are probably his friends, you know?
Probably, yeah.
He's allowing to buy more.
Yeah. This is the equivalent of, you know, in baseball when the players try to throw one of the balls to the little kids and then some idiot adult comes in and snatches out of them.
Yes.
That's the equivalent of what I witnessed there. The exact equivalent. So, yeah, shame on you, House of Hoops and Foot Locker Canada. Also, every time you say you're going to have a sneaker online, you never do. And I've been victim of this 3 times. Every time you say you're going to have it online, I message you on Instagram and you say, oh, sorry, we're not going to send them online. We're only going to sell them on our stores. So, shame on you. The sneakerhead in Canada deserves way better.
It's true. I agree with that.
End of rant. Sorry,
I think we're about to finish here because it's been more than an hour.
But ironically, this is not our longest episode.
Yeah, the first one, I think, was the longest.
The first two. Yeah. Any parting words, Rafael? You're going to be away for Sunday, which is when we traditionally try to record.
Yeah, it's no longer a tradition.
It's no longer, yeah.
But anyways, when the season starts, it's going to be different.
But next week,
but
there's
lots
coming.
I am not feeling bad about it because whenever we record, I feel like we give you good content.
Fire.
Say. Except last time. Last time was funny.
Last time was organic.
Yeah, it was organic and funny. Yeah, it was very funny. Anyways, I'm going to be in Mexico.
Yeah.
I already know that I'm not going to witness any dunks for the next 8 days, but...
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Very funny.
But yes, I'm going to be there in your hometown. I'm going to meet your parents, eat some tacos.
Don't say that. Don't say that live. No, don't say you're going to meet my parents.
I'm going to eat some tacos, drink some tequila.
Of course you will.
And get some work done.
I'm jealous. Thanks, everyone, for your continuing support. We will have some great content next week. And once the NBA is back, you're going to be tired of us because we're going to put out so many shows, so many posts. Don't forget to follow us on social media. On Facebook, facebook.com/dropping.dimes. Instagram,
we want to get to 300 now.
Let's go to 300
share
people.
Share with your friends. Share the podcast. Share the Instagram.
Tell us what you want to see. Send us a DM. Suggest content. Suggest any bets that you would like us to see. We actually come through sometimes. But that's @dropping.dimes. Twitter, @dropping_dimes1. And on our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. Couldn't it be any easier than that? Probably. I don't know. But that's what you get when you buy your URL late in the game. Anyways, thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll see you very soon. Peace out.
Okay, so now we can talk about Playboy TV.
Yes, let's do it.